This is With Intrepid Heart Sermons, sermons preached by Reverend Adam Moline at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. You can find our website at goodshepherdlincoln.org, and the texts for our sermons each week follow the historic one-year lectionary. Let's listen in to today's sermon. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.
Our text today is the Old Testament lesson along with the first petition to the Lord's Prayer. You can see that on page 323 in your hymnal. You may be seated. Dear Christians, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned among them. These the words of the prophet Ezekiel. Three times in those words, Ezekiel, speaking on behalf of God, God speaking through him, tells the people of Israel that they have profaned the name of the Lord. Now, profane isn't a word that we use very often in our modern world. I think because there's not much of anything that is considered profane any longer. And because we don't use the word very often, we really don't understand what it means. Profane means to take something holy and to twist or warp it so that it is no longer holy. To take something good and to make it evil. To take something pure and to corrupt it, to make it impure. That's profaning. And that's what the house of Israel has done to God's holy name. In a small catechism, we talk about this very idea when we speak about the Lord's Prayer. We say, "Hallowed be thy name." In other words, holy your name among us. God's name being hallowed means two things, according to the Catechism. First, that God's word is preached and taught in its truth and purity. And second, that we lead holy lives according to what that word says. God makes his name holy. Apart from anything that we do, what we pray in the Lord's Prayer is that it may be holy among us also. In other words, that we might not profane it in this world. But whoever teaches or lives contrary to the word of God profanes God's name among us. And in the Catechism we say, "Protect us from this, Heavenly Father." In the days of Ezekiel, the people of Israel had profaned God's name. They had abandoned God's word. They no longer preached it or taught it the way that God desired. In fact, we see even under the reign of some kings, God's word was completely and totally forgotten. And because they had forgotten God's word and profaned it, they also led wicked, sinful, impure lives as well. Ezekiel in chapter 8 gives us a picture of what it was like in the last days of Jerusalem. The Lord brings him to God's holy temple and shows him in the outer court of the temple 75 men who, there at the temple, are worshiping idols, shaped after every creature from all the corners of the world. They're in church, worshiping carved images. And then God takes him to the inner court, the holy place. Think of our sanctuary. That's what sanctuary means, holy place. And there, in the inner court, God shows Ezekiel 25 more men. But they have their backs faced towards God. And instead, they're looking up into the sky, praying to and worshiping the sun instead. They had lost God's word, and now they're leading wicked, impure lives. They may have gone to the church building, but their worship was directed to other things. They may have even recited God's word out loud, singing the hymns of the service, but they didn't believe any of them. And in this way, they profaned the name of the Lord. See, God's name was placed upon the temple. God's name was placed among the people. And yet, they didn't care about that at all. Not long after Nebuchadnezzar destroys the city of Jerusalem, the people who survived are led into exile in Babylon. And on their way, their faith was confessed, an untrue faith. The people they passed by said, "Aha, your God has no power. That's why you were defeated. The name of your Lord is worthless. That's why you're in exile." And rather than speak up, rather than to speak the truth, rather than to defend God, the house of Israel was silent. And their silence was their confession. They profaned the name of the Lord. Dear Christians, many in our world today do the exact same thing. How many people in our world don't truly believe in the name of the Lord? How many people think it's just a talisman that you can carry around and pull out when things feel a little uncomfortable? How many people attach God's name to false teaching? How many people use God's name to justify their own sinful actions? It happens all over the place. It's more and more common. We talk about it a lot here on Sunday mornings, don't we? The profaning of God's name happens on the theological left in many ways. Those who claim to be Christians that use Christ's name to justify their sin. It sounds like this: God is love. He loves me just the way that I am. He loves me even if I do this sinful act. In fact, he loves me so much that act isn't sinful. He loves me so I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. It leads to people justifying their sins of addiction, drunkenness, immoral sexuality, and more. Lots of this false application of God's name happens in ways that seems rather harmless to us. How many TV commercials have you seen that depict something against God's word? More and more and more of them, right? The couples are not just man and wife any longer. To get you to buy a car, they have to be same-sex couples. To get you to buy that Campbell's soup, or whatever it is, they have to depict those people living contrary to God's word. Oh, Pastor, it's just a TV commercial. How could it be that bad? It profanes God's name. Or maybe you saw this in the last couple weeks. The most recent Taylor Swift album that speaks against God's word, that twists and warps it in a way that's contrary to what the scripture teaches. Oh, it's just music, it's no big deal. But it profanes God's name. You've even seen in the news the last few weeks a rapper who's going around wherever he goes wearing a diamond-studded crown of thorns. It profanes God's name. It mocks God's name. All of these misuse of God's word also lead to false worship. Worship of idols. Idols like gender ideology. Idols like abortion. Idols like divorce. Forgetting God's word, misusing God's name, leads to wicked living and sinful lives. It profanes God's name among us. Protect us from this, dear Father in heaven. And it doesn't only happen on the theological left either, does it? It happens also on the theological right. When those who claim Christianity use Christ to justify their own wicked sins and filthiness, saying things like, there are some groups of people who are beyond redemption. And since they're beyond redemption, you should hate them. God wants you to hate them. God wants you to punish them. If their nation is invaded by another, that's good. They deserve to die. They twist God's word. They profane God's name. Some of them have been pastors, in fact, who have been defrocked. And rather than repent of their sins, they now are starting their own shadow synods and self-ordaining people, doing church online for thousands of people across the country. They twist God's word. They profane God's name. And they hide behind political ideologies and use them to infiltrate the church, bringing their dubious conclusions into the heart of God's holy sanctuary. They might stand in church with their hands perfectly positioned and their head bowed, but their worship is not to the one true God. It's to their own political beliefs. They misuse God's name. And as a result, they live a wicked, sinful life. They profane God's name among us. Protect us from this, dear Father in heaven. People profane God's name everywhere. And we shouldn't be on the theological left or the theological right. We should be where God's word is preached and taught in its truth and purity. That's where Christians live. In our Old Testament lesson, Ezekiel says that God will vindicate his holy name, that he will not let it be profaned forever, but instead that he will work to put right what our sin has put wrong, to make holy what our sin has corrupted, amongst all people and all nations, in fact. In today's text, in the Hebrew, God uses the pronoun I 34 times, indicating that he is the one who is going to vindicate his name, that he is the one who's going to make it holy again. It's just what we say in the Small Catechism. God's name is certainly holy by itself. Apart from anything that we do, but how is it that God will vindicate his name among us? How will he make his name holy among us? Through Jesus. Jesus, who bears on his shoulders the sins of the entire world. The sins of every single person who has ever been born or whoever will be born have been placed upon Jesus. And he shed his blood on the cross and died for those people and their sins. He objectively gave his life for every single person in this world. He bore our transgressions. He carried our infirmities. Upon him were the wounds that make us well. Jesus bore the sins to the cross. He paid the price they deserve. He said, "It is finished." And he rose from the dead on the third day, declaring victory to every person he had purchased from sin, death, and the devil. In the work of Jesus, his cross, his death, his resurrection, he saved the church. He saved you. He paid the price for all sin. So that the apostles in the book of Acts were bold to say, "There is no other name in heaven or earth given among men by which we must be saved. No name except the name of Jesus." And since Christ's sacrifice and resurrection to vindicate God's holy name in the world, we are now called, Ezekiel says, to use God's name rightly, to sprinkle water upon many nations in the name of God, and thus to bring them to faith. That sounds an awful lot like holy baptism. These are words that prefigure Christ's own words in Matthew 28. When you have gone out, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. All uncleanness from all people and all nations can be healed by the life-giving waters of holy baptism, where God's name is used rightly, connected to water and applied to you. In the waters of baptism, God's name is placed upon you. That's why we make the sign of the cross, to remind us of that truth. As Ezekiel says, I will take you from the nations and gather you from the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit, the Holy Spirit, within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. That's who Christians are. They are the ones in whom God's Spirit lives, who have new hearts of flesh rather than the stony hearts of sin and death. That's who you are in the waters of holy baptism. Christ died objectively for all sins. No, not every person will subjectively be saved, but all sins objectively are forgiven. Not all who live in this faith will stay in that faith. God's word still goes out and calls you and gathers you and sanctifies you. You repent of your sins. God's word is used rightly in your ears. God's Spirit is attached to that word. God's Spirit calls you to faith in Jesus. You are forgiven of your uncleannesses. You don't just go through the motions here. You believe what Christ has done for you. His name is holy among you because of what he has done for you. Dear friends in Christ, you are saved by Jesus, by his work. And now you remain in his word, with his name holy upon you. For Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.
That concludes today's sermon from Pastor Adam Moline. For more information about the Lutheran faith, check out our church website, goodshepherdlincoln.org. The title of this podcast, With Intrepid Heart, comes from the conclusion to the Book of Concord, where it is written, This is our faith, doctrine, and confession, in which we also are willing, by God's grace, to appear with intrepid hearts before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of it. God's blessings on your day.